as we consider thy will be done, we see something of that in Psalm 40, especially in the last two verses. We are going to read the first eight verses of Psalm 40, and then we read Matthew 12, verse 46 through 50. So Psalm 40, 1 through 8, and then a few verses in Matthew 12. This is God's word to us this morning. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burned offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Let us now also turn to Matthew 12, 46 through 50. There Jesus is standing and teaching. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him and told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother, my brother and sister and mother. As far God's precious word to us this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when our eyes are open to it, the earthly family is a place where we can learn many lessons for the family of God. From the very start of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father. It teaches us that just as an earthly father who cares and protects and provides for his family, so the heavenly Father cares and protects and provides for his children. Just as the earthly father wants to be approached by his children with respect, so the Lord wants to be approached with respect. That's why we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name. Just as an earthly father desires to be acknowledged as someone who bears authority, so is the Lord who wants to be approached as someone who bears authority. And therefore we pray, Thy kingdom come. Just as an earthly father wants to be trusted, someone who knows best, someone who knows best, the best thing for his children. So the Lord wants us to approach him as someone who knows what is best for us. And therefore we pray, Thy will be done. In the previous message, we have seen that God deals with His children as a father, and especially when they come to Him in prayer. And we would like to keep this perspective, as it were, front and center into our minds. We would like, therefore, to draw your attention to the text which speaks about God as the Father and doing His will. And Matthew 12, verse 50 is our text. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You would try this to follow this text thematically, not exegetically, but referring to the original context just minimally. We do this together with Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124, on page 85 in the back of your Psalter. Lord's Day 49. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. That everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So, we are going to think about, together, praying for the will of the Father. First, we look at the will of God in general. We consider, what is the Father's will? And when the Bible speaks about God's will, how are we to understand that more generally? And then we zoom up into our lives and how that is really going to, how prayer is going to play a role in that. And here we also look at the Heidelberg Catechism, what Heidelberg Catechism says about that. And then finally, we would like to consider some encouragements for our prayer life. The Father's will for our prayers, our last thought. How can we be encouraged when we pray, Thy will be done? First of all, the Father's will. So in our text, the Lord Jesus is speaking to His, and His earthly family is coming to Him, and they want to see and speak to Him. And they are thinking in their minds that somehow they have more privileges than others. They think they can interrupt Him whenever they want and speak to Him at any time with the Lord Jesus. And then someone comes to the Lord Jesus and tells Him, that His family wants to speak to Him. And as often things that happened in the Lord Jesus' life, the Lord Jesus makes it a teaching moment. And to the astonishment of the earthly relatives, He points to the crowd in front of Him and shows that the privilege of having the Savior's attention goes to those who do the will of the Father. They may disturb Him any time. Undivided attention does not go to His earthly relatives, but to those who are spiritually connected to Him. And that's what our text says. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now before we connect that to our lives, let us just zoom in on the will of the Father for a moment. What is the Lord Jesus speaking about? How can we know the will of the Father for our lives? Well, if we know our doctrine a bit, then we know there is a secret will of God, or a hidden will, and a revealed will of God. The secret will of God, this is the will of God about literally everything that takes place in the universe. It includes the tiniest cell mutation. Change in a little cell in your body, children. It includes the biggest tornado. it includes the mightiest work of salvation in someone's life. And God knows exactly what He's going to do while this earth exists. And He knows the end from the beginning. And everything He does is wise. Now, we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't. We don't know what will happen to us. Or we don't know if people are going to be saved. But God does. It's all known by God. We don't know until God does something and we find out. We don't know what is going to happen when we make a certain decision. So if you want to find out about God's hidden will, can you? R.C. Sproul said it like this: the only way we are going to know about the hidden will of God for you today is simply wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow I will make it clear to you. Because you can look back to the past and know whatever happened in the past is an outworking of the hidden will of God. We only know God's will for tomorrow after tomorrow happens. God's hidden will, therefore, can never be missed. It always takes place. Whether you are very indecisive, or whether you make a mistake, or whether you are very independent, perhaps, or whether you are dependent and godly. It is always going to take place. God's hidden will take place. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 is very important in this. We shouldn't worry about God's hidden will, it says. It says this: the secret things, maybe we know this text, belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So God doesn't want us to be busy with what is hidden in His mind. He wants us to be busy with God's revealed will. What does that mean, God's revealed will? Well, children, let me give you an example. Your mother has been cooking something and she said it's a secret. It's a secret. So at a certain moment she puts the dish or the pan on the table and you cannot wait. And you lift up and you look into the pan and you see it's not a secret anymore. It is revealed to you at that moment. Right? It is revealed. So it's not hidden anymore. So it is with God's will. We don't know God's hidden will until He reveals it to us. And lifts, as it were, the lid of the pan for us. And He allows us to glance into that will. How does God allow us to look into it? Well, simply by time, but the second thing that He allows us to look into His will and in His heart is by the Word of God. By the Word of God. It's the gospel. It's the law. It's the Bible. Because without that will of God, we would have never known what God wants for this world and for our lives. The Bible, without the Bible, we would never know that God had sent His Son into this world to come and save sinners. And to gather a family who He wants to teach them to pray, "Our Father, and Thy will be done." Without the Bible, we barely know that there is a God. Without the Bible, we would not know how we should live pleasing to God and what decisions we are to make before His face. We don't know how to pray. Without the Bible, that revealed will of God, we have not much. But now we have God's Word. And how do we learn God's will, the will of the Father for us? If you've struggled, what is the will of the Father? Is it the will of the Father that I will be saved? Is it the will of the Father that I make this or that decision? If it is the will of the Father, and you fill in the blanks, let's start here. What is the will of the Father? It is simple. Galatians 1 verse 4 says, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's God's will. To deliver us from our sins. To deliver us from our bondage. That's God's will for us. And because of that will, the revealed will, the Apostle Peter says this about the will of God for us as well. Especially when you're not saved. If you're not saved this morning, listen well. This is the will of God for you. God is long-suffering, that means patience to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. If you're not saved this morning, that's what he shows us in his word. Without that word, we would have never known. That's God's will. He desires us to turn away from our sins and to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. It's the will of God for you if you're unsaved this morning. If you're saved and you have come to faith and repentance, what is the will of God for you this morning? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Your sanctification. That you ongoing repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood alone. So let us clear any doubt about what God desires for our lives this morning. If you'll be wondering, what is the will of God for my life? This is what it is this morning. This is where we start. If you're saved, God, you're benefiting from God's patience. God has given you a lot of patience so that you would come to faith and repentance. And therefore, the Lord wants to call you. It calls you this morning. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And if you are saved this morning, he desires you that you live a holy life. And that's what the Lord calls you this morning. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's how simple the Christian life is. We can make it much more complicated. And we can make it very complicated. But this is how simple it is to know God's will for you and for me. And the big question comes to us. Do we trust God's word? We would trust God's word and therefore cry out and say, Lord, help me to repent. Help me to trust. Help me to pursue holiness. And do we pray, therefore, Holy Spirit, come and help me to respond to this calling, whether faith and repentance or holiness. With these words of this prayer, thy will be done. Because thou art showing that this is thy will. So faith and repentance or holiness or sanctification. That's the foundation for everything we do, for every prayer that we pray. That's the basis for praying from the heart, thy will be done. But you might say to me, well, I find that discovering the will for my life is often far more complicated. It's not that easy. You might wonder, for instance, how about Gideon? He put out a fleece in order to know God's will. Children, do you remember that? He went out and he put out a fleece, and he asked, Lord, can it rain on that fleece and dry, be dry all around it? And it happened. And he did it again and again. Is that how we are to find out God's will? Or are we then for other things? Are we to trust our feelings? Are we just to say, okay, I read my Bible and there needs to be some deep impression of a verse jumping out of the Bible, or having some goosebumps perhaps that when you read the Bible? Or are we to go by what other people say to us? Or are we perhaps to take our Bible and just open it and then, oh, this might be the will of God today? Is that what we are to do? How are we to determine the will of God for our lives? For the small things, for the great decisions, are we to use any of these methods? How can we pray, thy will be done honestly and trustingly? Well, let's look at that in our second thought. The Father's will for our life. So how do we make those decisions? Well, here is where it starts. It starts with praying, thy will be done from the heart. It starts always with prayer. When we are desiring to make a decision in accordance with God's will before God's face. And then we have to look into the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this situation? And if God says something about that situation, we do well to study it. But it's very easy, if it is a commandment that God gives, a specific commandment about something, it's very easy. We simply obey the Word of God. Let me make it a bit more clear for you. Young people, I've spoken to you, some of you, asking the question, what are you going to do after high school? Many of you struggled, and often I heard, I don't know. How do you discern that in a godly way? Well, here's where it begins. My question to you is, have you made it a matter of prayer? That's always where it starts. Have you made it a matter of prayer? Have you also prayed, thy will be done? That means you say, Lord, it's not about what I necessarily really want, but I want to be guided. Let me be clear that every calling that you can do can be done for the glory of God. You can, whether you're going to be a mum or pursue a college, or whether you're going to be a farmer, or a florist, or a fireman, it can all be done for the glory of God. But how do we decide? Well, after prayer, involve your parents and ask them, what kind of gifts do you see in me? And together think about, what kind of person are you? And what kind of gifts and interests do you have? And think about that. Have you considered also something along these lines? Are there things in God's kingdom where there is a great need, where I can serve the Lord specifically with the talents He has given me? Has He gifted you with grace? Has He gifted you with godliness? Has He gifted you perhaps with gifts of teaching? Then you can consider that. Because there are many vacancies in teaching these days. If you are gifted and godly, maybe you should consider also counseling or ministry or missionary. But the question is that you consider prayerfully, where can I serve best with the talents and the things that the Lord has given me, and do that prayerfully. And sometimes The Lord will clearly confirm that out of His Word, especially when it's important decisions like ministry. Clearly confirm it out of His Word. In your regular Bible reading, just the next chapter perhaps in your Bible reading that you see, yes, the Lord shows this to me. But otherwise you simply prayerfully move forward. When there is nothing sinful in this job, the Lord has given us a brain, the Lord has given us a Bible, the Lord has given us godly help from people around us. And when there are no clear passages to forbid certain type of work, all can be done for the glory of God. One or the other doesn't really make a difference. You don't need to figure out something secret. As you move on, the Lord will either confirm in your calling or not. And perhaps He makes it clear after some time that it doesn't fit you. And then you prayerfully start over again looking for the Lord's will. But up to that point, you do what your hand finds to do with all your might in prayerful dependence. When you have been dependent in prayer, you may trust that the Lord will lead you in the right path. And then you shouldn't need a fleece like Gideon. You don't need to expect some chills or over your spine in your Bible reading. You don't need to let the Bible fall open and then think this should give us the direction. No, the Lord simply wants you to listen to His Word, to make a prayerful decision before His face, and to be ready to be redirected whenever He makes it clear to you. And to repent when you later on see there was something sinful here. That's all He wants. A humble, dependent lifestyle. And the same principle are true for every other decision that you make. Ask yourself, is there a clear passage in Scripture? If you don't know about it, maybe it's time to study. And then prayerfully obey it. And if there's no clear passage, then make a prayerful decision before the face of the Lord. And you see how important prayer is. If you do it prayerfully, humbly, dependently, you will see the Lord guide your pathway. It's very important. Prayer is the key in these kind of things in our lives. That's something practical to start off with in this thought. Let's now also look at what the Heidelberg Catechism and our text say about these things. Our text says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Our text also does not mean, although it doesn't clearly say that, doesn't mean that now you can do God's will in your own strength. No, you still need prayer. We all need prayer. Rather, means that doing the will of God, of the Father, it says in our text, if we truly do that humbly, it means that we belong to God's family. Why can I say that? Think about Saul. Saul was going to the way of Damascus. And then God meets him at that road. Now what is the first thing that God does in the life of Saul? We don't need to have all the same things that Saul had on his way, dramatic signs or everything. But this is what changed Saul. The first thing that escaped from his lips was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You see that? "Thy will be done." Suddenly Saul was concerned about God's will. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a time in your life when you became concerned about God's will and doing God's will? And are you still concerned about doing God's will in your life? If that continues, that's God's work. Because by nature, we are not concerned about doing God's will. We are concerned about doing what we want. Nothing else. Or perhaps we are thinking outwardly, hypocritically, doing God's will so that it looks like God's will, but in our hearts we are rebellious. I've heard a story once of a child who was told by the father, and he sat in the back of a car, and he was told by the father, I want you now to sit down. At a certain moment, she finally sat down. But she said, Dad, I'm sitting down, but I want you to know, in my heart, I'm still standing up. If we have not learned to do God's will, or if we try to keep up a facade for others, then that is who we are toward God. But when the Lord has turned our hearts and made it moldable and humble, God's will becomes very important to us. And we learn, as the Heidelberg Catechism, to renounce our own will. Question and answer 104. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. So we are to renounce our own will. That means we are to put our own will under God's will. We are to know God's will for our lives from the scriptures. So if we are serious, really serious about honestly praying, thy will be done, we need to know our Bibles. We need to be in our Bibles. Otherwise, it's still hypocritical. We don't know what God's will is. And we are to obey that will of God completely, joyfully, and promptly. Now, you have again a picture of a father. That's what a father delights in, isn't it? When your child obeys completely, joyfully, and promptly. Do you remember, children, probably you've heard that saying, I guess, obey all the way, right away, with a happy heart. That's what the Lord desires for all his children. Why is this so important? Because just as your parents know what is best for you, so the Heavenly Father knows what is best for you. So that you would learn that same kind of obedience to God's will in our lives. And when you learn that already with your parents' children, that's a great blessing, because that helps you when the Lord turns your heart to Him, to do that also joyfully toward Him. And that honors God. We are to renounce all our own ideas, to follow God's ideas promptly, joyfully, completely. And then the Heidelberg Catechism says this, which is only good. Only the will of God is good for our lives. It's the best. But our sinful hearts often don't see it like that, isn't it? We often don't see that God's will is best for us. What happens when we lose sight of that? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about grumbling. Or what happens when we lose sight of God knows at this moment what is best for us? Fears. We get fearful. Or we have doubts in our hearts toward who God really is. Is He going to provide for me? Is He going to help me? Is He going to be there for me? Is He really the God whom He says He is in His Word? And we fall in sin, in discontentment perhaps. And we are led into sinful ways, sinful lusts. And that's what we need to renounce. Heidelberg Catechism says, say, Lord, thy will be done. My will is always going to lead me in sin. When we have these things in our lives, those distrust and discontentment, all those things, it means that you don't trust that what God has in store for your life is best for you. And you're still trying to say, my will be done. Our text says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And the Lord, the Heidelberg Catechism also shows how we are to deal with that, do that will of God. We said something about that already, but it says this as well. That everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. That's God's will for us. That we would be as willing and faithful in everything we do as the angels of heaven. We know that the angels obey God completely and joyfully and promptly. The angels are here, as it were, held up for us as a model and say, do the will of God the Father like that. But maybe you say, but can we? How often we fail, don't we? We fail in these things. We complain. We resist God's will. We doubt God's good purposes. Are we to be perfect like the angels? That's God's intention for our lives. Yes, God hold that up, but we cannot. And therefore, let us look to the other model. The one who can truly motivate us. The one who always did God's will. We should look to Christ in those moments of complaining and resisting. He obeyed God's will perfectly, completely, joyfully, promptly. That's why the Heavenly Father could say to him about him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He has often reason to say, I'm not pleased with you because of your disobedience and you're not listening and not obeying. But this Son, I'm well pleased in this one. Jesus Christ. Hear him. Listen and obey him. Let us listen to Jesus, the perfectly obedient Son of Jesus, of God. If we desire to do God's will, that's where it starts. He could say, I always do the will of him who sent me. Have you confessed that you often do the opposite? Let me ask you, does that grieve you? Does that grieve you? Does it make you pray, Lord, teach me thy will to do? Does it make you humble? Because we are not just to obey the Lord without grumbling and everything, but instead we are to do it joyfully. Just like parents who love to see a child obey joyfully. So the Lord loves to see his children obey joyfully. We read Psalm 40, verse 8 especially. There it says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is written in my heart. That's what Christ did. That's what he desires for every one of his children. To learn to obey God's will with joy. To trust him, to submit to him, to rejoice in what he is doing. That's what Christ did. Moment by moment, every second of his life. How about us? If you don't, if you say this morning, I struggle with doing the will of God, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Are we submitting, therefore, looking away to the Lord Jesus Christ and submitting, therefore, Lord, teach me thy will to do? How can we learn that? By looking to Christ, by being in the Word of God, knowing the will of God, and then more and more fervently pray, Lord, thy will be done, even when it's difficult. Not my will be done. The Father's will for our prayers. Let us look one more time at our text. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The Lord Jesus points to this whole crowd. The crowd of people, the disciples who are listening to him, and says this. Whosoever. Whoever does the will of the Father. And you don't need, as we gather from the context, you don't need to be a blood relative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or do you? You do in this sense. You need to trust his blood so that you can do his will. The Lord's will for our life is that we would trust Christ's bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Christ poured out his precious blood to do the will of the Father. Think about that. Must we not confess to our shame, we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, striving against our own will. Must we not confess that too often we have abused perhaps our prayers to make God do our will? That blood of Jesus Christ, not my will but thine will, that blood is able to cleanse us from these kind of sins. Even our self-willed prayers. Even our disobedience. Even our rebellion. All those who trust in Christ are included in that whoever. Whoever you are. If you trust in Christ and sincerely pray, thy will be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, then you may leave all your past rebellion in his hands. Because your past is covered by that blood. Change with God is possible. However heinous your sins are this morning, and you trust the Heavenly Father and his Son, his obedient Son, to cleanse you from all your sins, he will look at you as one who is perfectly obedient. But consider also the high price that he paid. The high price that he paid to be obedient to his Father, to save rebels. When we consider that high price was paid for me, shouldn't that make us humble and pray, Lord, I don't want to do my own will anymore. It will. It will. That's your prayer. The Lord is already working in your heart to pray more fervently, more wholeheartedly, thy will be done. Even when it's costly. And here's the encouragement. When you learn to pray, thy will be done, from the heart, it shows that you belong to the family of God. What a privilege. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. As we learn to pray, Thy will be done, we listen to Jesus, to His obedience, and we ask Him, Lord Jesus, help me, take me by the hand, teach me how to do this, how to submit to Thy gracious Heavenly Father. And He takes us. He takes us by the hand to the good and gracious Heavenly Father. And we may say He is our Father for Jesus' sake. And we come to Him and pray, Lord, make me willing to do Thy will. Make me willing, Lord, to delight in Thy will, even when it's difficult. Make me willing, Lord, to repent of my sins as soon as I see them, and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to strive for holiness, so that I can truly say, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Thy law is written in my heart. Let us therefore trust the Father that His will for our lives is best, even when it doesn't look like it. If you look at the Lord Jesus, it didn't look like it was going to be a good thing that He was going to suffer and die. Was it? But it was the best. It turned out to be the salvation of rebellious sons and daughters. And so it is in our lives. What doesn't look good to us might be the best for us when we humbly learn to submit and say, Thy will be done. But you might say, I desire to pray according to God's will, but prayer, I find it so difficult. Let me ask, if you could see in your mind, in the mind's heart, a Heavenly Father, although we can see Him and we shouldn't imagine pictures, as one who comes and welcomes people close to His heart because of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you could only have that picture, as it were, in your mind every time you come, that would help you, because you are coming to a Heavenly Father. But here's another help. The Lord has helped, has given us a promise that He will give the Holy Spirit to all those who ask. And prayer is difficult without the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, are you trusting the Holy Spirit to teach you to do God's will, to pray? Because without the Holy Spirit, prayer is impossible. God doing God's will is impossible. But the Lord shows in His Word that when we learn to trust and rely on the Holy Spirit in our prayers, that Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. With that Holy Spirit we pray. We will pray. We will learn to submit. And we learn to do God's will. So are you consciously leaning on the Holy Spirit? Maybe you say, how does that work? Confess and admit your own inability to pray. That's where it starts. I cannot do it, Lord. Help me. Help me. It is the Holy Spirit then that comes and helps us to embrace the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood to cleanse us from our sins. It's the Holy Spirit then that helps us to submit to God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings scriptures to your mind when you pray. It's the Holy Spirit that intercedes according to the will of God. And when we pray dependently upon that Holy Spirit, with this attitude of, I want to submit, we may be confident that the Lord is going to hear our prayers and supply all we need. Promise is there. Philippians 4 verse 19, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All you need might not be exactly what you ask for, but it's going to be all you need. In one of my last messages, I said mistakenly that God sometimes doesn't answer our prayers. What I meant to say is this. He might not always give us exactly what we want and ask for. Because this is what the Word of God tells us. 1 John 5 verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, His Word, His Holy Spirit, based on the blood of Jesus Christ, He hears us. He hears us. He always hears us. What a Father God is. What confidence believers should have in our prayers. He's going to hear. He's going to supply my need because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us come to our Heavenly Father, just as an earthly child, expecting good things, while realize that we don't always get what we want. And when an answer hasn't come yet to your prayers, let us wait. Let us wait. God's time is going to be the best time. Let us wait expectantly and continue in prayer, because He is a good Father and will always give what is best. So whether He gives you what you ask for, we may thank Him then. Don't forget to thank Him. Or whether He lets you wait for a moment, or whether He is going to give you something better. What is it supposed to do in your life? It's all designed to teach you to pray, "Thy will be done." And let us therefore rest assured that our prayers for Christ's sake have His undivided attention. Amen.